here's my book, 2015, The Coming Religious Reich. And on page 80, well, page 77, I start talking about five steps to a Eurocentric supra-authority. And I talk about a guy by the name of Jean Monnet. Jean Monnet is really known as the father of the European Union, the real father of the European Union. Guy, oh, you scared me. There's a guy known as see with these earbuds, I can't hear anyone sneaking up on me, and he snuck up on me. The real father of the European Union is Jean Monnet, who lived from 1888 to 1979. And he is the one, Monnet, who declared, quote, there will be no peace in Europe if the states are reconstituted on the basis of national sovereignty. So no sovereignty. The countries of Europe are too small to guarantee their peoples the necessary prosperity and social development. The European states must constitute themselves into a federation. So Jean Monnet was calling for the European Union, which I believe we're headed toward a Eurocentric world government. We'll ask Dr. Andy Woods about that. But he said there would be five things that would help bring about this supranational authority. One, economic free trade partnerships. Number one, economic free trade partnerships. Two, open borders, shared citizenship, and monetary system. Three, external security partnerships through solidarity in foreign policy. Four, internal security, common rule of law and enforcement. Five, total control by supra-government of human rights and social progress. These were his five steps. Well, I go on to write where this brings in Ted Cruz. Agreements in the mold of Monet's economic free trade partnership have been forced upon America, largely by Republicans and so-called conservatives, even Tea Party heroes. Marco Rubio, for instance, was a hero of the Tea Party until he joined John McCain, Gang of Eight, and pushed for amnesty for 20 million illegals at a time when Americans were having a hard time finding jobs. Then there is a Tea Party hero, U.S. Senator Ted Cruz, who is anything but an outsider or conservative. In his book, Tragedy and Hope, liberal and globalist Carol Quigley explained how people like Cruz and the two major U.S. parties are really one. Carol Quigley wrote, quote, the argument that the two parties should represent opposed ideals and policies, one perhaps of the right and the other the left, is a foolish idea acceptable only to doctrinarian and academic thinkers. Instead, the two parties should be almost identical so that the American people could throw the rascals out at any election without leading to any profound or extensive shift in policy, end quote. Vladimir Lenin often offered the similar strategy, quote, the best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves, end quote. I write on page 80 of my book from 2015, for months Ted Cruz supported the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP, known as Obama Trade, and only turned against it in the plan's final hours in Congress. He had already done the heavy lifting so it would pass. Cruz had appeared on radio and television programs and written articles to promote the TPP, even though it was anything but a conservative cause. After he garnered enough support to assure the passage of this horrible legislation, Cruz voted against the TPP so he could position himself well with conservative constituents. One of the biggest threats to the family and the church is apostate politicians and religious leaders. The real worldview of people like Ted Cruz should reinforce the fact that our hope is not in politicians, but in the gospel, and that our job is to proclaim the gospel. Here are some facts about Ted Cruz. Cruz wanted to see legal immigration doubled at a time when Americans are having a hard time finding jobs. He would also like to see a 500% increase in the H-1B visas. These visas would allow highly skilled workers to come into America and take more jobs from Americans. Perhaps most revealing as to why Ted Cruz would publicly rally for the passage of the Trans-Pacific Partnership might be that his wife convinced him to do so. His wife, Heidi Cruz, who served on the Council on Foreign Relations Task Force for Building a North American Community. Her bio on the CFR website reads, quote, Heidi S. Cruz is an energy investment banker with Merrill Lynch in Houston, Texas. She served in the Bush White House under Dr. Condoleezza Rice as the economic director for the Western Hemisphere at the National Security Council, as the director of the Latin America office at the U.S. Treasury Department, as special assistant to Ambassador Robert B. Zolelik, U.S. Trade Representative. Prior to government service, Ms. Cruz was an investment banker with J.P. Morgan in New York City, end quote. By the way, did you catch that? Ted Cruz's wife was involved in the task force for building a North American community. She worked with George W. Bush's administration, folks, to create a merging of America, Canada, and Mexico, the North American Union. Ted Cruz's wife. All right, how many people has Cruz led to believe that he is a Washington outsider or so conservative that he's a Tea Party guy? Conservative news outlet Breitbart.com reported that U.S. Speaker of the House John Boehner used Cruz to promote Obama trade. Quote, that Boehner is using Cruz to push Obama trade is probably even more disappointing to most conservatives. And Cruz's press operations hasn't over the past 48 hours since Boehner, That Boehner is using Cruz to push Obama trade is probably even more disappointing to most conservatives. And Cruz's press operation hasn't over the past 48 hours since Boehner ratcheted up his decision to use Cruz's support for this to whip votes for it. Given Breitbart News any comment in response to the revelation, despite multiple opportunities to do so, end quote. As to further mask his connections, Cruz called the Council on Foreign Relations, of which his wife was a part, a nest of snakes, end quote. Yet Ben Smith, a Politico, reported that he did exactly that, quote, Ted Cruz, the former Texas soldier, Solicitor General and Tea Party favorite for the Republican nomination for Senate, has been focusing some of his harshest campaign trail rhetoric on that longtime villain of the suspicious of U.S. internationalism, the Council on Foreign Relations. The New York-based group Cruz said at a speech to a Republican women's group in Sugar Land, Texas last week is, quote, a pit of vipers, end quote. This is a perfect example of a politician saying what the voters want to hear. If he really thinks so poorly of the CFR, why was his wife working with him on a task force calling for the creation of a North American Union that is apparently part of the plan to destroy America's sovereignty and create 10 global regions overseen by a European supra authority? And I can go on and on and on about the Trans-Pacific Partnership that Cruz pushed. And in this book in 2015, I told you don't trust Ted Cruz. It didn't help that he was hanging out with Glenn Beck, who I think is about as weird as a $3 bill. Glenn Beck, who did his 2010 rally on the Mall, literally bringing together an imam with Christians and Jews and locked arms and said we all need to look to one God. Well, sorry, Glenn. Christians and Muslims don't worship the same God. Certainly not Christians and Jews don't worship the same God as the Muslims. But that was his looking to one God rally. Glenn Beck, and I could say a lot more about Glenn Beck, and I warned about him for years, and he turned out to be one of the most anti-Trump people on the planet. Remember him rubbing his face in Cheetos, mocking Trump? Well, now apparently he's interviewing Trump. Well, I think one of Trump's weaknesses is he either is too forgiving or has a short memory and surrounds himself with people that he shouldn't even be associating with based on their past record and criticism of him. But there was a lot of reasons I didn't trust Ted, and I wrote about it and documented it in that book in 2015. Now others are starting to figure it out as well. J.D. Rucker on my radio show today, who's a past supporter of Ted Cruz, says to me on radio today, he'll never support him ever again. Ever again. Why? Well, this is why. He's now become the useful idiot of the Marxist and Nancy Pelosi. Ted Cruz. Watch this.
Senator King, and next up... Senator Cruz, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chief, welcome.
Good morning.
Thank you for your service. And I want to start by thanking the heroic service of the men and women who serve alongside you. We are approaching a solemn anniversary this week, and it is an anniversary of a violent terrorist attack on the Capitol, where we saw the men and women of law enforcement demonstrate incredible courage, incredible bravery, risk their lives to defend the men and women who serve in this Capitol. We are grateful for that courage. We appreciate the selfless sacrifice of the men and women who keep us safe. And I will say My view is that anyone who commits an act of violence should be prosecuted. And anyone who assaults a law enforcement officer should go to jail for a very long time. And I think that's a principle that is true regardless of the politics of the violent criminal, whether they are right wing, left wing, or they got no wings at all. If you assault a cop, you ought to go to jail for a long, long time. And I hope we get some agreement that that should be true regardless of the political context that ostensibly and purportedly justifies that violence, that we will stand with the men and women of Blue. So I thank you for your service. I thank the men and women who serve with you for their service.
So there it is, the headline, Ted Cruz Betrays America, Sides with Democrats Over January 6th, by my friend J.D. Rucker, who used to be a supporter of him. So now Ted Cruz wants to label Americans there that day, waving the American flag, many of them peaceful, as violent terrorist attack on the Capitol. Well, again, I warned you about Ted Cruz.